Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well this morning. It's just been tremendous. The music ministry of the church has just been tremendous. The service, just trust that you sense the very same thing I sense. I sense the presence of the Lord in this place. We have been going through a month of prayer and fasting. One of the things we have been praying and fasting for is this service right here. And I just am looking forward and to God working in a very special way, as He already has up to this point. And now we're looking into His precious Word. And so if you would get your Bibles out and turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 22, the very last words of the Bible. That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Revelation chapter 22, and we're going to be reading verse 16 down to verse 21. The book of Revelation is the last of God's recorded and preserved words to mankind. Stop and think about that. Creator God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, come to live as a man. Yeah, it was the Word was manifested in the flesh and dwelt among us, giving us an example to follow after for Christianity. Christianity is Christ-likeness. He lived a sinless, perfect life. He laid His life down to pay a sin debt that we all owe and cannot pay, could not ever pay it. He paid it for us. Resurrected on the third day. That was last week. We had a tremendous Easter service and acknowledging and remembering the resurrection. Remembering the resurrection. And because after He resurrected from the grave, then He ascended to heaven. The Bible says He ever liveth to make intercession for us today. Before He ascended, He had explained and directed each one to write exactly what He wanted them to write, to give us the completion of the Bible, which is the New Testament Scriptures. And at the very end, the very last book was given through John, the Apostle John, as he was on the island, and Jesus revealed to him, came to him as the God that He is, Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and He revealed to John the things that He would want John to write as the last words of God to mankind. And we have it before us here today. We're getting ready to read it. Just think about that. That if you truly understand it, it'll just blow your mind. Amen. We have it. Go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read it. Revelation 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you this morning, and it has just been a blessing just to experience what we've experienced already in Sunday school and the worship services up to this point. But Father, I know that you have more for us. You know exactly what each one of us need today, and as we have come to your church and we have opened up our hearts and our minds to hear what you have for us through the preaching of thy word, I pray that you would, God, just empower the preaching once again. I pray that you would use me as an instrument in your hand once again to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The Greek word for revelation is apocalypse. Apocalypse. Many refer to the book of Revelation as the apocalypse. That's the Greek word for the word revelations. That means an uncovering. That's the definition of revelation. That's the definition of apocalypse, is an uncovering. It would be an uncovering of the past, an uncovering of the present right now, and an uncovering of the future by God. Revelations in chapter 1 and verse 19, as Jesus met with John on the Isle of Patmos, he said this to John. He says, write the things which thou hast seen and the things which are seen in the past, are is the present, and the things which shall be hereafter, what the future holds. From Almighty God that was there in the beginning of time. Matter of fact, God established time for humanity. Before humanity, there was no time. God is eternal. There's not a limitations on time with God. The only one is limited by time is humanity. And so he designed time for humanity, and there's going to come a point in time at the end of time where there will be no more time. And God reveals to us all these things in this book of Revelation. Possibly the most powerful book in the whole Bible. In the very beginning of this book, it reveals what this book was for. In Revelations chapter 1, it says this: it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now realize, it's the revelation is what Jesus Christ is uncovering, and he is a resurrected Savior at this time. He was in heaven, he came, he lived, he suffered, he bled, he died, he resurrected, he ascended back to heaven, and now he is revealing himself as a resurrected Savior to John, and he's revealing to John his revelation, what God has for us to be uncovered concerning past, present, and future. The present being the church age, which would be the first three chapters in the book of Revelation, basically. But the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Now look at verse 3, it says this: blessed is he that readeth. God said, I want all humanity to read it. I want all humanity to understand it. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. I want all humanity to hear the preaching of this prophecy. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. That's how it begins. And then our text is how it ends. Yeah. The last things addressed by God to man. Verse 16 and 17 is the last invitation. Can I tell you that God has given humanity an invitation? For some 2,000 years, this invitation has been given to receive the gift of everlasting life through Jesus Christ. And there's no other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus very clearly revealed that. And throughout the New Testament, throughout the scriptures, you'll find there's no other way. And yet there is invitations throughout the New Testament. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, because God has given you an invitation to call upon him, and he will give you a gift of everlasting life. Wow. The last invitation. The invitation is for the lost to be saved. And he says, the Spirit says, come. It's the Spirit says, I'm giving you an invitation. And the Spirit of God is here in this New Testament church age. And the Spirit of God is convicting your spirit, his spirit bearing witness with our spirit. And he has given to us an invitation to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you're saved here this morning, you know that you're saved here because at some point in your life, you come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He revealed to you that you were lost and on your way to devil's hell, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Spirit of God throughout this New Testament church age, it's the Holy Spirit of God who has been convicting and then giving an invitation to come. Come to the place of salvation. Everything that the Bible has to say is true. That's what the Spirit of God is going to convict us of. The Spirit of God is going to reveal to you that Jesus Christ is who he said he was. He resurrected to prove he is who he said he was. He is the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of all mankind. And God says, final invitation. The Spirit's here. He's not going to be here indefinitely. But he's here to give you an invitation to come. He says the bride says, come. We understand that Jesus addressed the bride as being the church. Jesus is the groom. The church is the bride of Christ. And the message of the church for some 2,000 years, the main message of the true church has never changed. Come to Christ. Put your faith in Jesus and believe that he is the Messiah, that he died for your sins. And the church, the bride, has been saying for some 2,000 years to humanity, you must come to receive Jesus if you're going to go to heaven. The Spirit of God's convicting you, saying, come. The bride, the church, is saying, do you come to him? But it goes on from that, and he says this, and let him that heareth say, come. All who heareth and have been saved. How can you keep this to yourself if you truly believe that you've just received everlasting eternal life? If you truly knew before you received Christ, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and you were going to go to a devil's hell when your time on this earth was over, but then you got saved, and if you got saved, you're thinking, everybody needs to do this. And so he says, for some 2,000 years, when people get saved and they truly get saved, they want others to get saved alongside of him. They don't want anyone to go to a devil's hell, especially a loved one. Parents, you would never want your child to live without Christ, let alone to die without Christ. The Bible says the last invitation is all who get saved. You're going to ask and you're going to do whatever you can. You can't save them, but what you can do is give them the best chance possible for them to want to be saved by living a Christian life in front of them, by making sure they're getting a Christian education, a Bible education, as far as who God is. And then he says this, after all this invitation, and let him that is athirst, you realize you need this water, this eternal water. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. All can be saved, but all will not be saved because they will not believe and they will not call upon the name of Christ. All must will to be saved if they're going to be saved. You can't force somebody to get saved. You can force somebody to maybe say words. Words don't save you. It comes from your heart. God listens to your heart. He knows what you are saying from inside of you. And then outside of your heart, you will make a public profession of Christ. You'll not be ashamed of him. If you truly get saved, you will want everyone else to know. You'll want to tell other people, because of what I did, I want you to be saved. That's what the Bible says. Then you will be one that's going out there saying, come! God has given us an invitation. The invitation is running out. We don't have a lot of time remaining. The invitation is here. It's now. Come. There is going to be a final invitation. You will reject Christ for the very last time before you die and spend eternity in a devil's hell. Do not die and spend eternity in a devil's hell when the Bible has so recorded so much concerning you coming Christ. But you got to do it on your own. It's got to be of your own free will. But God wants us to understand the last words is an invitation to come. In verses 18 and 19, it's the last warning of the Bible. Can I tell you, you can study the scriptures, you can find a lot of different warnings. Beware of this, beware of that. There's warnings throughout the Bible. And we need to take heed to every warning that God has given to us because they're real. If they were not real, then he would not have warned us about it. But the last warning. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. The words of God are the most important words for anyone to ever hear. That's why Satan is working so hard to water down the words of God, to change the words of God. They're changing the words of God with the words of man. They're changing the doctrines of God with the philosophies of man. We can't let that happen. The Bible warns us against that. The final warning in verses 18 and 19 is that don't tamper with my word. Don't change what I have given to you. I have preserved it. I've had it written down what I wanted written down. God says what he means and he means what he says. But in order to fit into to the world's psychology, in order to fit into the world's philosophies, you have to change the word. Religion has changed the word. And yet there's a great warning here. There's going to be a movement, a huge movement at the end of days to do away with the Bible. And at the very least, take out anything that would be offensive. Matter of fact, there's even Bibles where they've taken out the gender. Imagine that. They've taken out the blood. Because if you talk about the blood of Christ, then that could offend people. They've taken out the idea that there is a place of hell. You don't want to scare people, so we can't have that in there. You got to take it out. And yet we're warned. Yeah. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. The last warning. Can I tell you, if you know the Bible, if you read the Bible, there's no excuse for changing what God has for English-speaking people in the King James Version of the Bible. It was written in Greek and Hebrew. Back in 1611, it was translated into the English language. I don't even go back to 1611, although I believe that's when the King James was translated and God's hand was in that to be able to bring every word to the English-speaking people. I go back to 1776. When this great United States of America was founded, you know what Bible they had? King James, 1611, King James Bible. They established the Constitution and the laws of this great nation based upon this Bible. The Ten Commandments, they used to be in government facilities. Ten Commandments used to be in every school system. Praying to God, you used to have to start out every day in public school system. Praying. What's happened? We've changed it. Added to what we wanted to add to it, and we've taken away what we didn't want to hear. King James Version of the Bible for the English-speaking people has been tried and tested by time itself. And I'm still preaching it. And the true churches have read the end of the book of Revelation. They said, we're not changing, we're not adding to it, we're not taking away from it. We're preaching exactly what God has preserved for us being the English-speaking people, because Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How can you live by every word if you don't have every word? Wow. The last warning. Verse 20, we have the last promise. He which testify these things saith, surely, this is Jesus, I come quickly. Surely, it's going to take place. Based on the word of a God who cannot lie, surely, I'm going to come back. I come quickly. Some people get mixed up with that and they say, well, it's been 2,000 years. That's not quickly. That's not what he's talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52, the Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's pretty quick. Blink your eye. Yeah, it already happened. When it happens, that's how it's going to happen. When it's time, I wish I knew, but then I can't know. His Bible says no man knoweth the time, not even the hour. We can see the time. We can see the signs of the time. Jesus gave us that. If you study the Bible, they're there, and we have, look around us. We are seeing the signs of the end of the times all around us today. Surely it is close. His coming will be swift. When God says it's time, twinkling of an eye. It's not going to be prolonged. It's going to come quickly. Matthew 24, verse 44, the Bible says, "Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." If you don't believe in the Son of Man, you're not going to think he's coming. You think it's all just a bunch of hearsay, and there's no truth to it, and there's evidence to it. There's no facts to it. Listen to me. We have the facts of the words of God. Surely. It's going to take place. And when it takes place, twinkling of an eye. Quickly. The last prayer. The last prayer. I thought, what a way to end our prayer and fasting awareness month. But what the Bible says ought to be our last prayer. Our prayer all the way up to the coming. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's a prayer. That's the last prayer of the Bible. With all the other prayers, you can look through the Bible, and there's been prayer after prayer after prayer, and so powerful prayers and so needed prayers, but there's not any prayer that's more needed than what we have just read right here, and the prayer that will be the last prayer God's recorded. Even so. Understanding everything else. Come, Lord Jesus. Out of all of our prayers, this is only second to our prayer to be saved in importance. Once you have prayed the prayer of salvation, the most powerful and the most important prayer that we can pray is even so, come, Lord Jesus. You see, when you know Jesus as Savior, you can believe what his coming will do. We have history. You know, anybody can predict the history. Because it's already happened. I can predict the lottery from yesterday. Not that I would ever play the lottery. I'm just saying. How many people would love to be able to predict the future? There is none. Except for God. When you know Jesus is your Savior, you can believe what he says will take place when he comes. One of the most important things, and one of the things that I'm looking forward to, is when he comes, our sin nature will be no more. We will never have to tell ourselves no again. I can eat whatever I want to eat. I don't care what the doctors say. I don't care what kind of cholesterol problems I might have. I can eat whatever. Today I got to tell myself, no, you can't have that. No, you can't have that dessert. No, you can't go back for thirds and fourths. No, you can't do that. And I'm telling myself, one day I'm never going to have to tell myself no again. Because there will be no sin nature. If you haven't learned how to tell yourself no, then you're living in sin. Guaranteed. Because all of us have the same sin nature. We also have some of the very same temptations. Yeah. They're common to all people. What makes a difference in the Christian's life is you learn to crucify your flesh. You learn to say no to sin. When he comes, I'll never have to say no to myself again. Yeah. When he comes, it'll be the end of all unrighteousness in the world. But we are watching things taking place all around the world today. I mean, within seconds, we hear and we can see things that are taking place. You see, that's what the Bible said would take place in the end days. In the tribulation period, we're going to be able to see, the world's going to be able to see the witnesses of God. How would they have known that 2,000 years ago? Mankind could not, but an almighty God could. And he recorded for us in the book of Revelations the things to come. And he knows what kind of technology we would have for all humanity to see the same things at the same time all around the world. We're able to view that even now. And the atrocities going on in Ukraine and all around. The unrighteousness. The unrighteous voice. Getting their way over what is righteousness. The world claiming all that which is good to be evil and all that to be evil good. Unrighteousness. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, because when he comes, it'll be the end of all unrighteousness. Matter of fact, he'll rule and reign for 1,000 years in righteousness. And then there'll be no more time. And there'll be no more unrighteousness for an eternity. How can you not, if you know Jesus as your Savior, not want to pray, even so come, Lord Jesus, because I don't want unrighteousness to control humanity. It will be the end of Satan himself. Whether you realize it or not, we're battling spiritual warfare every day of our life today. And that's because Satan and demons are real. Even if you don't understand it, you're still being impacted by evil. But when Jesus comes, first of all, he's going to bind him for 1,000 years, but after that, he's going to put him in a place where he prepared to hold Satan for an eternity, a place of eternal damnation. That's Gehenna, hell, was not prepared for humanity. It was prepared for the devil to stay for an eternity, never to be able to escape. If you've ever had to deal with evil, you've got yourself to the place of saying, even so, come, Lord. Because that means the evil will be gone. It will be the end of so many things that I want to come to an end. But I think on the bright side of it, not only will it be the end of so many things, it will be the beginning of a new life.
That's more of why I want to pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus, because, yeah, it would be an end to all those things, but it's going to be a beginning to something so much better than what we've ever experienced. It will be better than the best of this life. Heaven is going to be better than the best of this life. Hell is going to be worse than the worst. A new atmosphere. Whatever you think about global climate, all the different things, listen to me, God's got that under control. We need to be good stewards of things, but he's going to burn this earth up. And this atmosphere is going to be totally dissolved. But we're going to have another celestial atmosphere. There's going to be a new atmosphere. There's going to be a new earth. One where there's no need of water, no need of oceans, no need of sun. It's going to be different than what you could ever imagine. Just know this, it's going to be better than the best. Whatever places you've been on this earth, I mean, the scenic beauty that you can go around the United States of America and see all the different things that are so beautiful. The new earth is going to be better than the best. Can I tell you that ought to put a smile on your face? It puts a smile on my face because I know it to be true. Because I know Jesus is my personal Lord and Savior, and he's revealed to me what the future holds for us once he comes back. It's going to be a new atmosphere. It's going to be a new earth. There's going to be a new body. A glorified. And we'll be known as we were known. But I'm not going to be this heavy when I get my glorified body. Some of you won't be bald. Yeah. It's a new body. Better than the best. You look at some bodies and think, oh, boy, I'd like to have that and muscle and anything. No, I'm going to get one better than the best. Yeah. New relationships. Some people say, oh, there's no marriages in heaven, and I don't know if I even want to go there if I can't be married to my wife and I can't be married to my heaven. It's better than the best. It's all the best and more. Better than the best relationships you could ever have. Jesus has got to come for that to happen, I know. But even so, come. There's going to be new recreation. I don't know what the challenge is going to be. Hole in one every time. Something's got to be wrong. I mean, you can't miss a three-pointer. Everything, every ball. It's going to be a better than the best of the new recreation. We will have recreation, amen? There will be a meaning for our existence. But it's going to be better than the best. If we pray this prayer, even so come, Lord Jesus. We will be more apt to be ready for his coming. And that's the key. Not when, but being ready when it does take place. Don't think, well, I'll just wait, not twinkling of an eye. Twinkling of an eye. I love the song. Ira Stampfill wrote this beautiful song. He must have dreaded the last promises in the book of Revelation because he writes these words. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a mansion
just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk on streets that are purest gold. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow a stone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion my own. Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged. I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of the city. I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. Sing it with me. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk on streets that are pure as gold. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Like they have their head bowed this morning. The last things, the last words of God to mankind. For yet, this could be your last invitation. If you've never received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, listen to me. There's coming a last invitation. This could be the last opportunity you'll have. I'm not trying to scare you, not trying to force you. I'm just trying to open your eyes. It's real. It's real. You need to call upon the name of the Lord and receive that gift of everlasting life that he has available to you. Don't turn it down. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. We thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for this Bible, God, that it is proof positive that we have an almighty God who understands and knows all things and has given to us what we have need of to be able to live the Christian life as you want us to live it. I pray, God, that you would bless now in this invitation. Help all those who have need to make a decision, whatever that decision might be, to make it today, right now. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.